Okay, good morning, everybody. I have your turn. So we are beginning this morning, the Ma'ayonos, the wellsprings. So, right, we finished the sheet. Great. So we'll move on now to the Ma'ayonos. Everyone, I gave out the sheet last time, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. If anyone did not get, I have some copies still over here, if anyone needs. Okay, so beginning the Ma'ayonos. Remember again, as I mentioned before, when it comes to Perek Shira, the interesting part about Perek Shira is you have parts of nature that are quoted that at first glance appear redundant. For example, in Perek Shira, we already covered the yamim, the seas. See, you would have thought that the sea covers all bodies of water, yet amazingly enough, it doesn't. It doesn't, which is really quite fascinating. So we'll see, interesting enough, from the Perek Shira perspective, each and every body of water kind of has its own unique identity and has its own unique message. So take a look at number one. Ma'ayana somrim, the well springs say us on. Now remember again, a ma'ayan normally refers to what?
Spring.
I know, but when I say a spring, what does that look like?
A natural body
of water coming from where?
From
the ground. So this is going to be important because this will figure into the imagery. So as opposed to, let's say, a body of water like a lake or an ocean or a river, the spring sprouts forth from the ground. So ma'ayanos omrim, the well springs say, v'sharim kecholilim kol ma'ayanei bach, and singers as well as flute players, all my innards are concerned with you. So again, quoting from Tehillim, v'sharim kecholilim, singers, flute players, sharim, like shira, singing, cholim achalal, flutes, kol ma'ayanei bach. So David HaMelech, so again, what does he seem to be saying in this pasuk? Before we get to the message of Perek Shira, what's the message of the pasuk? What would you say? What is David HaMelech trying to convey?
Everyone praises Hashem.
Good. He's painting a picture of like perpetual Shira. Just like the singers are always singing and the flutes are always playing. Kol ma'ayonai, my entire essence, literally my innards, right? My entire essence, my entire inside, my entire gestalt, my identity is fundamentally concerned with you. In other words, I'm wrapped up with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in fact, the Medrash Tehillim writes, "V'sharim kecholim, am Rabbi Yehuda bar Simon, b'shem Rabbi Meir, k'shem shehabe'er noveya mayim chadashim b'chol shah." Just like a well, right? Just like a well, but really in this context, it means a spring. Just like the well, the spring is always bringing forth additional waters. Additional waters. Kach Yisrael omrim shira. See, before we go on with this, it's interesting. If you look at the Gemara, different Talmidei Chachamim are praised in different ways. So there are certain Talmidei Chachamim that are given the praise of a ma'ayon noveya, a flowing spring. Now, what's the chap when someone is called a flowing spring? What does that mean? What does that imagery tell you about the person?
Overflowing.
So overflowing, good. What else?
Constantly.
Moving. Good. What else? I'm sorry?
Always,
right? Constant energy, always going. Now, tell you something interesting about the Be'er. So the idea when Chazal use it also is like this. If you have a spring, so the more water you take out of it allows for what?
More
water to come in, right? The more you draw, the more the well has the ability to become filled up with new water. So this becomes an incredible metaphor in Chazal also, that sometimes the more you give, the more you get. This happens to be an incredible lesson in life in general, which is a lot of times we think that when we give to others, so it leaves us deficient. Meaning I'm all into chesed, but when I look at chesed, I recognize I'm doing something for someone else at my own detriment. It's time that could have been spent for me. It's money that could have been spent on me. Resources that could have been allocated for me. Meanwhile, if you look at yourself like the Ma'ayon, like the flowing spring, the more water you go ahead and share with others, the more room there is for new waters to come in. So over here, David HaMelech says, "Kishim shabeer noveya mayim chadashim mecholsha." Just like the well constantly produces new water, kach Yisrael omrim shira chadasha becholsha. So to Klal Yisrael says, "New shira." In every single moment. Just like the Be'er constantly is renewing with water, Klal Yisrael is always singing new shira. Hadahu dechsev, v'sarim kecholulim kol ma'ayonei bach. Yes?
What's the connection between the ma'ayonim like springs and ma'ayonim like innards? Are they the same word?
I think David HaMelech is using, yes. Yeah, you're asking why Perek Shira quotes this pasuk? Yeah, it's the ma'ayon thing.
But is there a connection?
Between, yeah, I think just like the spring, you cannot see the totality and the essence of the spring when looking from the outside in, right? When you look at a spring, all you see is a collection of water. You don't see the underground piece that fuels that entire thing. So when you look at a person, all you see is their external shell. You don't see the kedusha, the holiness and the greenness that resides within. So both are much more profound than what they appear like on their exterior surface. So the Medrash is saying over here, and David HaMelech is saying, that the same way that the Be'er, that the spring, that the well constantly flows, so too Klal Yisrael is always saying Shira. So if I were to ask you, what's your problem with the Medrash? Well, I'm sorry?
We're not.
Well said. Meaning what? Expound a bit. We're not what? We're not always saying Shira. What does that mean? Right, Klal Yisrael is always saying Shira. That's true. How many Shiros do we have as embodied, written down in the Torah?
Seven.
Chumash. Leave aside Nach for just a second. Chumash.
Shira
Sayam. And even if you want to say Shira Sayam, maybe is like two. Maybe there's Moshe Ben Shira, Miriam Shira. Okay, next. Hazinu. And maybe like Vizol Sabracha could have, but really not. In other words, if you judge a Shira, remember again in the Torah, so a Shira is written differently than regular text, right? Whereas Rest is written in paragraph form, Shira is written a little bit of a staggered form. It's only Hazinu and Hazyashu that are written like that. And again, so if you continue through Nevi'im and Ksuvim, you'll have a bit more Shiros. But it's still, again, you could count on two hands the number of Shiras that we have throughout all of Tanakh. And yet again, here the Medrash tells us that what? That Klal Yisrael is always singing Shira. So what's the Pshat? What's the Pshat? So we're going to focus a little bit on the concept of Shira. And actually, we're going to go back to the first time in Chumash that we actually see Shira recited. The first time you'll see, take a look at number 3. Going back a little bit to Parshas Vayishlach. So remember again, Parshas Vayishlach opens up with Yaakov Avinu preparing for the fateful encounter with Esav. Remember again, Yaakov Avinu prepares himself for 3 things. What are the 3 things? Gifts, matanos, daran, tefillah, and milchama. Right? Daran, tefillah, milchama. Gifts, prayer, war. That's the Hebrew. No idea what to expect. So remember again, in the midst of this, so just appreciate the context. Yaakov Avinu goes ahead and he splits up the family into 2 camps. Why? This way, again, a share is up late. If someone ultimately is, if Esav does decide to attack, and he attacks one of the camps, at least there'll be a remnant who will survive. So Yaakov Avinu is preparing for everything. Every possibility he has covered. Good. Family's getting together, getting ready to meet Esav. In the midst of this preparation for this dramatic encounter, the Torah tells us, excuse me, a very strange story. Number 3, Vayivaser Yaakov Levado. Yaakov Avinu was left alone. Vayiavek ish imo ad alos hashachar. And he fights with a man until the dawn. Vayar kilo yacholo. Excuse me, this ish saw that he was unable to overpower Yaakov. Vayiga bekaf yirecho. He grabbed Yaakov's thigh. Vateka kafayarach Yaakov be'avko imo. And literally, again, we'll use the English here, touched the socket of his hip, which is not okay, and the socket of Yaakov's hip became dislocated as he wrestled. And the truth is, again, remember, what is it that he harms in Yaakov Avinu? The Gidanash, also known as the sciatic nerve. Right, so remember again, the sciatic nerve, which is the largest nerve, right? And the sciatic nerve goes from the small of the back all the way down to the heel, right? The longest nerve in the human body. And somehow over the course of this struggle, he grabs Yaakov Avinu again by the thigh and somehow dislocated. You can't really dislocate a nerve. It means he injured the nerve. He injured the Gid Hanashe, dislocated, injured the nerve. What happens? Vayomer Shalcheini ki Allah HaShachar. Finally, the Ish turns to Yaakov Avinu and says, let me go, for the dawn has dawned, right? The sun has come up, the dawn is breaking. Vayomer lo ashalichacha ki im berachtani. And Yaakov Avinu says, I will not let you go unless, of course, what? Unless, of course, you fight with me. Now remember, whenever you see these stories in Chumash, stories of which you're all familiar with, if you truly want to appreciate them, you have to approach them as if you are seeing this for the first time. So imagine you're seeing these speaking out for the first time. What are the questions that immediately come to mind? Why does he want a bracha from this guy? Good. Next.
Why did
I'm sorry?
How did you go alone?
Why is Yaakov Avinu alone? Excellent. What else?
It seems like such a good coincidence. Like, oh, you have to let me go because half the city, it's my time to secure.
Well, we didn't even get to Shira yet, right? Remember again, we don't know that. Looking at the Psukim, right? All we know is that the individual said to him, let me go because the dawn is breaking. Good, we're going to get to excellent. We're going to get to Shira in just a moment. Hold on to that. But again, just looking at the Psukim themselves, I just want to point out to you what an enigmatic story this is. Why is Yaakov alone? What's the next big question? Remember, imagine you're seeing this for the first time. You don't know Rashi or the Medrash or anything else. Who's the Ish? Who is this? Who is this person that's starting up with Yaakov Avinu? Why is he alone? Why is he starting up with Yaakov Avinu? Right next, we said, why does Yaakov Avinu want a bracha from this guy who attacked him seemingly randomly? And of course, number four then is what? Which is just mentioned before. Why does he suddenly have to go now that it's time for Alos HaShachar? Right? Why now that the dawn is breaking, does this individual have to go? Now remember again, I want to point out something very interesting. We had an Ish earlier in Chumash. I'm sorry, I take that back. We're going to have an Ish later on in Chumash. Just a few parashios later, where does the mysterious Ish appear again?
There's a Malach that tells Yosef where his brothers are.
Good, before we get to Malach, who appears to Yosef?
There's a man. That
right? This is very important, by the way, girls. This is just an aside. If you want to truly appreciate Chumash sometimes, well, really, it's Tanakh. You have to go ahead and learn to look at the text independent of Medrash and of the Mefarshim. Then what you do is when you understand what the Pesukim say, first of all, you appreciate the Mefarshim. When you understand what's bothering Rashi, you appreciate Rashi so much more. But good. So excellent. Before we get to that, there's an Ish. Yosef is looking for his brothers. Right? And who does he happen to bump into in the middle of the field? Vayimtzeihu Ish. This strange man, Yosef happens upon this strange man. Remember again, what does that strange man tell him? So the strange man tells Yosef two things. Firstly, he asks him a question. Remember the wording of the question he asked Yosef? Two words. Ma tivakesh. He asks Yosef, what do you want? We're going to come back to that in just a little bit. And Yosef responds, I'm looking for my brothers. And ultimately, again, the Ish then tells Yosef, okay, I heard that they're by Shechem. So Yosef goes and he finds his brothers. Again, strange. Strange that Yosef runs into this Ish, right? In the middle of nowhere, he's just lost a little bit. Toa basada means he's lost, and he runs into the Ish. That Ish, also, whether it's the same Ish, different Ish, runs into Yaakov Avinu when Yaakov Avinu is all alone. So let's look at the Gemara. So Gemara says in number four. So remember again, the Gemara understands Yaakov Avinu has absolutely no idea who attacked him. He's been fighting with this Ish the entire night. And he has absolutely no idea who this person is. Who are you? What are you? Remember again, a fight that goes on the entire night. You know, sometimes we don't appreciate what that means to literally, again, be physically engaged in fighting the entire night. So finally, the first break in the fighting comes right as the dawn is about to break, and the guy says, let me go, ki Allah shachar. So look at number four. Says Yaakov Avinu, so it says the Ish to Yaakov, Vayomer, shachini ki Allah shachar. Let me go because the dawn is breaking. Amar lo, ganavato, o kubiustu sato, shemisya min hashachar. So when the guy says, let me go, because the dawn is breaking. So what does Yaakov Avinu ask him in response? What does he ask him? Ganavato, what does that mean? Ganavato? Are you a thief? Right? Are you a thief? That ultimately, again, you're afraid of daylight? Are you a thief? Your rabbi only operates under the secrecy, the shadow of night? Then now the dawn is coming up, so you have to... So remember, again, you have to understand something. Yaakov Avinu has been fighting this man the entire night, and he has absolutely no idea who his opponent is. The first, I just want to point out, remember again, there is no verbal exchange. Right. Yaakov's alone, and the Ish starts up with him when? When? Immediately. I mean, there's no verbal exchange, there's no words, there's no fight that then leads into physicality. The Ish engages him from the beginning with a physical conflict. The first words they exchange are right before dawn, when the Ish says to Yaakov, Shachini ki Allah Shachar. And Yaakov, you know, essentially says to the guy, what? What does he say? What does he say? I'm sorry. Before we get down to your blessing, what is, according to the Gemara, what does he say first? Who are you? Who are you? before I let you go, who are you that you have been fighting with me the entire night? Are you a robber? Kobi Yustas is like a thief, a bandit. Who are you? Amar lo, malachani. To which the ish said, no, I'm not a robber, I'm not a bandit, I'm not even a person. I am a malach, I am an angel. Omiyom shenevresi, lo higia zmani lo marshira, ad achshav. And as was mentioned before, the malach says, and this morning happens to be my opportunity, my right, my moment to be able to say Shira. So please let me go so that I have the ability to go on and to recite Shira. Says the Avodas Yisrael. The Avodas Yisrael number 5 is the Magid of Kuznets. The Kuznets or Magid says something incredibly beautiful. Now, of course, the obvious question is what? So, okay, so now Yaakov knows he's been fighting against the Malach, right? What are the questions that still remain?
Why?
Right? What was the nature of this battle? Right? Why did the Ish have to go ahead and fight with Yaakov Avinu? What's question number 2? Right, why Shira now? Why Shira now? Right? I understand Malachim sing Shira. So question number 1, why did the Malachim... Okay, so now at least we know who Yaakov Avinu's nemesis is, right? We know who the enemy is. We know who the person fighting with him is. It's a Malach. Who's Malach? What kind of Malach? That we don't know. We just know he's a Malach. So now I know that. I still don't know why, if you're Yaakov, I still don't know why you've been fighting with me the entire night. And I don't understand why now is your opportunity to say Shira. Now remember again, there is an approach of the Ramban. I'm sure you've seen that. What does the Ramban on this pasuk say? What was the essence of this battle? The Ramban? I'm sorry? It was Sarsha, he said, good. Ramban, what's the message? Right, so Ramban goes with the idea that this was the ministering angel of Esav, which we'll see a little bit, but according to Ramban, what was the point of the conflict? I'm sorry? Could be all Mazevers, all good, good. Good approach, not the Ramban. What does Ramban say? You don't have to learn Rambans in school anymore. No one learns Rambans. Right? The Ramban says that this is Maisa of a similar banim, that this was a historical foreshadow. Yaakov Avinu, again, is all... Remember, again, Yaakov Avinu... Where was Yaakov, by the way? Where was Yaakov in this moment where this battle took place? He crossed back over Ma'avar Yabok. Right, Ma'avar Yabok is a small crossing in the Jordan River. You could go if you take the Jordan Valley Road, right? If you're driving, you know, from the center of the country up north. So there is a place that's called Ma'avar Yabok. It's right on the Jordan River. On one side it's Jordan, the other side is Eretz Israel. It's Israel. So Yaakov, remember, crossed, so he brought the family over into Israel, into Eretz Israel, into Canaan, and then he goes back. Why does he go back? Pachim Kitanim, right? So what that's Rashi says, right? He went back, he forgot something, or whatever, he went back. Well, there was a series, and another reason he went back as well. So that's where the Malach fights with him, right? The Malach fights with him on the other side of Ma'avar Yabok. So the Ramban says, this was Maisa of a similar banim. Maisa of a similar banim is that Esav Soni Es Yaakov, that there's always going to be a struggle between Am Yisrael and Esav. And what will happen over the course of that struggle? What will happen? What's the end of the struggle? What's the result of the struggle?
We'll win.
We're standing. But, we're injured. So Yaakov Avinu, remember again, the pasuk is Vutzolea al Yerecho. Yaakov Avinu is limping after this encounter. Says the Ramban, the entire essence of this story is Maisa Ava Sima Labanim. We have to contend with the nations of the world. They will hurt us. They will handicap us. They will harm us. But we will always remain standing when the sun comes up. They fight us throughout the night, but when the sun comes up, Am Yisrael is always still standing. Look what the Kuznets or Magid writes. That's the Ramban. I'm taking a little bit of a different approach. So what we're going to focus on more over here is that at the end of the day, the Malach felt in this. The Malach says to Yaakov, let me go, because it is my turn and my time to recite Shira. So writes the Kuznets or Magid, a simple question. Paragraph number 5, paragraph Aleph. Lama rak achshav igiya zmano shel sar shel Esav lo mashira achrei she'aver yosa me'apayim shana mebriyas ha'olam. Right? This angel, how old was this angel? Let's assume for a moment that Malachim were created with the world. Hey, so the world is, so how long ago is this? 3,000 years ago. So the Malach was around for at least 2,000 years. So for the first 2,000 years of his existence, he didn't say Shira. And suddenly now, in the morning after his conflict with Yaakov, suddenly now it's time to say Shira. So what's the pshat? Ela de'isa b'zara kadosh mashal leben hamelech. Sha'aviv hamelech ratza livchonoso imhu ne'aman lemalchuso. So there was a king. Every good mashal begins with the king. Right? So there was a king, and the king was grooming his son to be the heir. Grooming his son to take over the throne. But the king wanted to make sure that the son had true allegiance to his father. V'shalach b'seiser echad mimasharsav, sheyiftenu la'asos avera. So what happens? The king secretly sends one of his servants to go ahead and try to entice the son to commit an avera against the crown. So what happens? If at the end of the day, so now what happens? The king dispatches his trusted servant to go to the son, to go to the prince, and to try to get the prince to commit an act of treason against the father, against the king. If the son withstands the nisun, he withstands the test, how does the father feel about his minister? How does the father feel about his servant? I don't know, I'll mix up the words. So again, father goes in and wants to test his son's allegiance. So what does he do? He dispatches one of his most trusted servants to go to the son and try to convince the son to commit an act of treason. The son withstands the temptation and pledges allegiance to his father. The minister comes back, or the servant comes back, tells the king what happened. What's the king's feelings towards his servant now? I'm sorry?
He's happy.
Good, he's happy. Why?
Because he didn't
know the son. Good. Not only the son, but the minister, by trying to entice the son to commit an avera, actually helped solidify the son's position as the heir apparent of the king. See, the minister started up with the son. It turns out that the minister's activities are the ones ultimately, again, that allowed for the son's allegiance to be solidified. Vizeo Sheirusalem Melech. And in fact, even though, again, it looked like the minister was trying to entice the son to commit an act of treason, it turns out that the minister was actually faithfully serving his king. Paragraph base. Kimo Kain Khan. Says the Avodah Yisrael, says the Kushnitz Magid. The same idea is here. Kishes Avik, Shes Avik Yaakov Mamalach, Sheze Haya, Ma'avik Beruchnius, Bechol Inyone Sveikus Vechakiros Viyuchalo. So this is amazing. The Kushnitz Magid understands, and by the way, many of the Mafarshim understand this, that Yaakov Avinu did not actually engage in a physical battle, but rather what? What was this? It was a dream. So ultimately, again, says the Kashnitzer Magid, that this battle throughout the night was not a physical battle. It was a theological battle, a spiritual battle. He goes on, Bechol ma'avak beruchnius, bechol inyone sveikus v'chakiros. So Yaakov Avinu, that night, was bombarded with doubts, bombarded with questions. Questions about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, questions about the world, questions about Tzadik V'Ralo, Rasha V'Tovlo, all the incredible dramatic theological questions that we all have. And that whole night, he's bombarded by these questions. And what happens? V'yuchalo, shenitzach es hamalach, v'ad achshav lo haya adam shekavash osa legamrei. So the Avodah Yisrael says something so amazing. He says, this malach, this sorrow shel Esav, what's his job in this world? What's his job? His job is to sow seeds of theological doubt in the minds of man. That's his job. To sow seeds of theological, of ruchnius doubt. And most of the time he's what? He's successful. Right? Most of the time he accomplishes his objective. So what happens? He spends an entire night wrestling with Yaakov Avinu. What's the nature of this wrestling? He's trying to plant seeds of theological doubt in Yaakov Avinu's mind, trying to get Yaakov Avinu to question HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to question God's righteousness, God's justice. But what does Yaakov Avinu do? What does the pasuk say? Vayal kilo yuchalo. the Malach was unable to get any real traction. Yaakovinu remained strong in his hashkafas. Yaakovinu remained strong in his emunah. Yaakovinu remained strong in his, remained strong in his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what happens? Ubazeh hitzliach saro shel Esav lasos eis asher hutal alav shelo yishu b'kolo. So this is incredible. Says the Chazon Ish Lakish. What is so? Remember. So according to the Maggid, of recording the Zohar, the job of the Saro Shel Esav is to do what? Again, what is it to do? Sow seeds of theological doubt. Is his goal to get people to go ahead and give up their emuna, give up their relationship? Is that his goal?
No.
What's his goal? Right. His goal. His success is challenging a person by sowing these seeds of doubt and a person rejecting all advances of the Saro Shel Esav. A person rejecting and repudiating all of that and remaining true and strong in their emunas, in their hashkafas, and in their relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. So says the Avodah Yisrael, Saro Shel Esav has been working on this since the beginning of time. And the truth is, he's quote-unquote never been successful. In other words, every single time that he had sown seeds of doubt into the minds of man, he was always what? Meaning, unsuccessful, successful. In other words, it worked. It worked. The seeds of doubt took root. The first time that someone ever fought back with all of their koach, all of their koach, all of their koach, and did not go ahead and question at all, and repudiated all of the doubt, and never moved an inch on his hashkafas and his emunas, was Yaakov Avinu. Yes.
Can we look at it like, obviously, Yaakov's fighting this fight, and I know Yaakov is like, Avinu's 100% clear on the Muna, but it did take the whole night. So it could be, I mean, in a way, it's reassuring for that he had to work through all that. Didn't just happen.
Absolutely.
So he stood still, but he stayed strong, but it took a night.
It was a struggle. Even the greatest of people struggle with their amunas and their hashkafas. It's an excellent, excellent point. That even Yaakov, this wasn't like a 30-second knockout, right? That 1, 2, 3, he's done. It's a whole night of fighting. But I'll take it even a step further. Based on what you're saying, it's even more than that. Because what else happened to Yaakov Avinu? He's injured. Right? So remember again, it's not the pshat that this was just like a simple mahalach of Yaakov Avinu. It was an entire night struggle. And even so, he walks away limping. He's injured from the process. What that limping means, we're going to see in just a little. Well, we'll see it in Mirza Shem in the next class. But that's the idea. But absolutely correct. So it says, yeah, well, so something dramatic is happening over here. This is not a physical fight. This is a theological fight. Saro Shel Esav, his job is to plant seeds of doubt. But his goal, his success, is after he plants the seeds and people repudiate or push away or fight back against his advances. He had never been successful before until his fight with Yaakov Avinu. This was the first time, and although it was a whole night struggle, this was the first time that someone was able to actively fight back all of the advances of Saro Shel Esav. So therefore, as a result, what happens? V'lachin daika as higia zman lomar shira. Therefore, again, says the Avodah Yisrael, that therefore what? It was Dafka this time that he was going to say Shira. What does this mean? This, by the way, is a concept. This is unique about the Avodah Yisrael. What I'm about to tell you is a principle that is held by the Gemara, which is when does a Malach sing Shira? When it fulfills its tachlis. Right? Malachim have purposes also. But whereas opposed to people who have the ability to influence their purposes or influence their tachlis, Malachim are given a tachlis. When the Malach finishes his particular purpose, right, actualizes or achieves his particular tachlis, that's when ultimately, again, he has the privilege to come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to sing Shira. So says the Avodas, he saw something dramatically amazing. In all of these years, the Saro Shel Esav was never able to sing Shira. Why not? Why not? Because he never accomplished his task. Because what's his task? His task is sow the seeds of doubt and what? And what? And be repelled and beaten back. He's been sowing the seeds of doubt for 2,000 years. And no one was ever able to repel him and beat him back in a decisive fashion until Yaakov Avinu. So now comes that morning. Give me 1 second. So now comes that morning. And the Malach says to Yaakov Avinu, what? Shalchini ki ala shachar. Let me go. let me go, because now it's time, the dawn is coming. This is when the Malachim sing Shira. The dawn is coming. Let me go, for it is time for me to sing Shira. Why is it time for me to sing Shira? Now, remember, the Gemara says, I've never, Miyom Shenev Reisi, I'm back to number four for just a moment. Miyom Shenev Reisi, Lo Higia Zmani, Lo Mar Shira Ad Achshav. I never had the opportunity to sing Shira until now, because I was never able to fulfill my job, to fulfill my mission, Mamish, until this moment. So let me go so I can sing Shira. Yes.
So does that mean that it's
not
that are doing this now? Or, I mean,
oh, so excellent. So take a look at paragraph Gimel. Excellent. So what does this mean when we have our struggles? What does that mean? That's the Sar Shal Esav. Look at it. Save Yaakov, Tevei Asav. Beir, Lefi Masharu Chazal. Bechol Levavcha, Bishnei Yitzracha, Beyitzar, Tobi Yitzara. Ma'apir Shlal, Vazashar, Beyitzara. El Shieda Adam, Shegamanes Yonos, Hayitzar Hara. Hakol Rak L'Seya La'Avodas HaMelech. So the Avodas Yisrael says, do you want to know why the Torah tells us this story? So remember, the Ramban said, let's go back. The Ramban that I just told you, why did the Ramban, according to Ramban, why is this story here? Ma'aseh Avos Milban. Remember again, Torah is not a storybook. So wherever you see stories, you have to ask yourself, why is it here? So the Ramban says it's a historical, it's a metaphorical foreshadow. Right? According to the Avodas Yisrael, because this is the story of the Yetzer Hara. So what we encounter today is not what we call the Sar Shal Esav, we call it the Yetzer Hara. But the dynamic is the same. See, this is amazing. Says the Avodah Sisran, this is such a different way to look at things. What is the tachlis of the Yetzer Hara? What's the Yetzer Hara's tachlis? Right. You see, the tachlis of the Yetzer Hara, sometimes we think tachlis of the Yetzer Hara is to get us to fail. No. The tachlis of the Yetzer Hara actually is to get us to go, to tempt us, and to see us overcome temptation. That is the actual, the Yetzer Hara is most successful when we are able to overcome and vanquish it. When we fail, when we succumb to the Yetzer Hara, I fail, and my Yetzer Hara fails also. My Yetzer Hara is just like the Sar Shal Esav. Look at Raj, go back to the paragraph Gimel again, read it too quickly. The Torah says, you have to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with your whole heart. Rashi leads me with your whole heart, with your good inclination, your negative, your evil inclination. I understand how to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with my Yetzer Hara. That's Torah, Mitzvah, Chesed, everything like that. What does it mean to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with your Yetzer Hara? The Avodah Sisra posits that means to recognize that all of your nesionos, all of your challenges, which stem from your Yetzer Hara, hakol rak l'sayeh la'avodas hamelech. You know what the Yetzer Hara is? The Yetzer Hara is the minister of the king, who the king dispatches to his son to make sure that what? That the king has his allegiance, that the son pledges his allegiance towards the king. The Yetzer Hara is not there to shter me. The Yetzer Hara is not there to ruin me. The Yetzer Hara is not there to break me. Just the opposite. The Yetzer Hara is there to test my allegiance and my fidelity. And in the moment when I am being tested, do you know who wants me to succeed the most? The Yetzer Hara. Right? Isn't that incredible? Who wants me to succeed the most when I am in the midst of Nisayon? The Yetzer Hara. Because it's his job to tempt me, but ultimately, again, to see me overcome those temptations. The nisyonos are part of the avodas Hashem. Sha'adraba wrote, "Who are Yetzer Hara? She's kabra love." The person who wants me most to vanquish the Yetzer Hara is the Yetzer Hara himself. V'lo shiyoba ha'adam l'shma bekolo. V'lo this pasuk. Such an incredible way to look at it, because sometimes we think that we are fighting against the force that wants us to fail. And that is not true. There is no force in this universe that wants us to fail. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to fail. The Yetzer Tov doesn't want us to fail. And even the Yetzer Hara wants me more than anything to succeed. But it's his job to test my resolve. It's his job to test my allegiance. So he puts all of these nisyonos in my way to test that resolve, to test my allegiance. And while all of these nisyonos are happening, he's quietly hoping that I will, Emirat Hashem, pass these nisyonos. Because if I pass the nisyonos, then not only do I succeed, but what? The Yetzer Hara succeeds as well. The Malach Shal Esav succeeds as well. And that's when the Yetzer Hara, the Malach Shal Esav, gets us in Shira. Yes?
Some people have to prove their fidelity more, so to speak, if
that's what it sounds like. It's the same way that you never see this happening with Avram Avinu. or with Yitzchak Avinu. This happens with Yaakov. So obviously, there was something with Yaakov that he, even though Yaakov is called the Bechir Sheva Avos, yet there was a need for Yaakov to go through this struggle that his father and grandfather didn't go through. So yes, and there are different people who apparently have to prove their fidelity and allegiance in different ways. Some people have to prove it much more often than others. How that happens, I don't know. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who knows who we are and what we need. Yes, question. So they had their own challenges. Remember, everyone has their own challenges. Like Avraham Avinu has a major challenge. Avraham Avinu's major challenge. No, his major challenge. Yishmael. Yishmael was his biggest challenge. Remember again, Yishmael was his son. And after, as Yishmael, he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lu Yishmael Yechel Fanecha, let my future come from Yishmael. Avraham Avinu's, his whole tachlis in life was to change the world. And yet what? He couldn't even change his kid. He couldn't even get his Yishmael. That was his Nisayon. Yitzchak Avinu. Yitzchak's Nisayon. Now you know what it is. Yitzchak's Nisayon. Esav. Right? So I don't know. I have to think about it more. Why Yaakov Avinu has this type of dramatic Nisayon more than his father and his grandfather. It could very well be that Yaakov Avinu, as the father of the Shvatim, as the Bechir Sheba Avos, has to have his Emunah and his Hashkafas tested in a way that's more dramatic than everyone else. But everyone has those nisyonos. So Avraham Avinu's willingness to accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan, that no, your future is not from Yishmael, it's going to be through Yitzchak, that was his nisayon. Yitzchak Avinu's willingness to accept that his future is going to come from Yaakov and not from Esav, even though the Torah tells us that he loved Esav more, that was his nisayon. Everyone has their nisyonos, they just manifest in different ways. But they have all this Yisrael teaching us this dramatic idea that at the end of the day, and I find this so amazing and so uplifting, that the Yetzer Hara is not there to bash me or to make me fail. Nothing, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't create a force in this world that is there to make me fail, just the opposite. Everything that Kadosh Baruch Hu creates in this world is there to make me succeed. Some things are there to make me succeed by pushing me higher. Other things are created to make me succeed by pushing back against me to test the power of my resolve, my fidelity, and my commitment. But even the most intense Yetzer Hara is only there to bring out my actual greatness. And therefore the Yetzer Hara rejoices when I go out and succeed. So this brings back, so we see that the Malach only recites Shira when the Malach is successful. So we're going to stop over here for today. We're going to see another dimension of the Malach's success in our next class. And then Emir Tzashem will tie it back to Parak Shira as well.